Welcome back to the Responsibly Armed Citizen Show. I am one of your hosts, Mr. Frank Werwath, and joined with me in studio is Tim Kelly. Tim, how are you doing?
Fantabulous as always.
We have an awesome show, as always, lined up for our listening audience. Concealed carry, right? Beginner students, going to start, taking a look at, our thoughts around concealed carry, when people should, be ready to start carrying in public, things of that nature. Before we get too far, Tim, I got a question for you. Have you heard of this thing that's going around right now, multiple areas, multiple locales, the senior assassin?
Senior assassin. No, I have not heard of this.
So the senior assassin is this.
Should I be Googling this right now?
No, well, you can.
But I'm going to Google this right now.
Senior assassin's this game that high school seniors are playing. And what's going on is, they're going around and they're taking like Nerf guns, they're taking water guns, things of that nature, and they're more or less like assassinating each other, right? So they're like playing this game. Sounds like fun, but as my wife was sharing some articles and some comments and stuff, apparently here locally, these kids are not paying attention to like social boundaries and things like that. So they're doing things like spray painting these water guns, these Nerf guns, black. And then they're having masks on and they're running around in parking lots assassinating, quote unquote, each other. That raises all kinds of red flags. Folks, if you see this, especially in public, it's going to be, it potentially could be difficult to differentiate between, okay, is this person doing ill will or is this a bunch of kids goofing off? It's definitely a conundrum.
I get it, man. I mean, I was a senior in high school, and back in my day, we did some interesting things like that, interesting experiments like that as well. And, losing the whole idea of social boundaries and just, right, skipping right past those and, doing what we want. I mean, it was just kind of a part of, being a kid, exploring around or celebrating, I guess, if anything, if you're a senior, it's celebrating the end of your childhood and moving into adulthood. And, I think you can still do all of those things, but going a step too far by spray painting the water guns black or something along those lines to make them look like a real gun. I mean, that is definitely way too far, and you're not getting one over on somebody, right? You're only cheating yourself when you do that. Yep. Like that's not, I mean, that's how you win stupid prizes.
Right.
Really.
And honestly, I mean, that's the biggest thing that I'd be concerned of. Mm-hmm. Right. I didn't mean to hijack our first little piece, but I mean, it's definitely something that raises an eyebrow, something that causes just a little bit of hesitation, a little bit of concern.
Sure.
Had some questions past couple of weeks about how can we reach out to you guys, how can we talk to you. There's a couple different ways that you guys can do that. You can call us 336-422-6859, 336-422-6859. You can reach out and have a conversation with us about really anything, right? So anything that revolves responsible armed citizen, anything that revolves around self-defense, if you're interested in classes, we can talk about that also. If you want to take a look at our previous shows, YouTube, right? WSIC News, that's currently the best place to reach out and look at those previous shows. We're going to start hosting a lot of those on our own website here shortly. So stay tuned for that. We'll get that information out there. So the question of the day, what is a beginner shooter? What is a beginner shooter?
There may be some differing opinions on this one. A beginner shooter is somebody who's just getting started in shooting firearms, right? And I think that process can last a very long time without without proper training, without having taken some type of proper education on it. I still know some people who have been shooting their whole life, who I would consider still a beginner shooter.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
And we see that often. We see, you know, we'll hear comments, especially concealed carry classes, which we'll talk about a little bit later, but somebody, I'm fine, I'm good, I've been shooting my whole life, which I'm not knocking, right? There's you know, some validity to that. But at the same time, you know, an advanced shooter is nothing more than somebody who has those fundamental skills mastered.
Right.
If you haven't mastered those fundamental skills yet, then, you know, by definition, you would still be considered a beginner student. And, you know, there's a lot of little things in there that, you know, people just gloss over, or they will intentionally do things like, you know, the old Kentucky windage, or, you know, you'll have a student that comes out and they'll have their sights slammed all the way over, you know, far one side. That's you know, compensating for a deficiency that they have, but that's the way that they shoot, right? That's right. The way that they learned or naturally progressed.
Right. You know, I think... I think this type of thing transfers over into just about everything and anything in life. I mean, if you have some people who can take a new product out of the box, not follow the directions, put it together, yep. and it'll look better than what the picture looks like on the box.
Yep.
Right. There are just some people out there that are really good at managing that type of thing.
Yep.
Right. Then there are some people who will not read the directions in the box, right. and they will attempt to put the product together. And with a little bit of duct tape and some zip ties and, you know, a little bit of magic fairy dust later, it kind of resembles what it looks like on yep. the image on the outside of the box. And I think that's what we see a lot of, especially in terms of beginner shooters. Some folks are able to figure it out on their own, and that's great. So long as you're measuring it, right?
Right.
Like, yeah, I feel like that's where a lot of people miss the mark is they don't need any type. They don't feel like they need any type of what's the word I'm looking for? They don't need anyone to convince them otherwise.
Right.
Right. And so they'll just tell themselves that they've got it figured out.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, the scary part about that, right, is they can be, they may have a natural gift, right? They may have some, you know, something figured out, and then, you know, they're a decent shot, we'll say, decent marksman. But once they like let go of that ego a little bit and they actually come and they get some like training, they get a little bit of education, and they really start working through it, man, they just skyrocket.
Right.
They go so quick. They progress so quickly, and it's really, you know, exciting, really encouraging to see just kind of that natural rapid progression, at least at first, because, you know, you're just giving them little carrots and saying, hey, like, you're doing okay, but if we adjust this and maybe tweak this a little bit, and, you know, that thing that you're already naturally doing, let's tighten this up a little bit. And all of a sudden they're monsters. I mean, they're
right.
just phenomenal marksmen and, you know, doing some really neat stuff.
I think you just kind of hit the nail on the head there, man. Really what makes a beginner shooter is somebody that has to continuously think about how to hit the mark every single time, right?
Mm-hmm.
How to do it over and over again consistently. If you have to continuously think about the physical aspects of it, I would say you still fall into that beginner category.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's all definitely things to think about. You know, something else that you know, really, you know, resonates in my mind, especially in an area, is I get calls all the time. Hey, do you guys teach concealed carry? I want to learn how to shoot. I wince every time. So let's talk about that after the break. Welcome back to the Responsibly Armed Citizen Show, where we're deepening our conversation about, you know, what is a beginner shooter and why the concealed carry shouldn't be the first place you go to learn how to shoot. I think a lot of that, you know, as far as, you know, it's just, you know, lack of information. I think that, you know, people who you know, aren't grown up around this kind of stuff, or maybe even like social norms, you know, where do you go to learn how to shoot, right? The first thing that, you know, a lot of people say is, you know, concealed carry class. Oh, I just need to go to concealed carry class and, you know, start from there. And that's, you know, as a, you know, Department of Justice North Carolina concealed carry instructor, you know, we both are, that is the farthest thing sure. from what a concealed carry class is supposed to be.
Yeah. Well, from a shooting class, you mean? Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, It's concealed carry is designed to teach you the laws governing deadly force and the laws governing concealed carry. It's not designed to teach you how to shoot a gun. And that was one of the things that kind of, you know, one of the reasons why we started this business in the first place was, you know, I'd ask people, where did you learn how to shoot a gun? And then you'd have the guy that talks about, oh, I was in the military, or I was prior law enforcement. And then you'd have the folks that will say, you know, my dad was law enforcement, he taught me, mm-hmm. or something along those lines. Yep. And you have that generational education and that type of thing. But there's no real formal education. There wasn't any real formal education involved. I don't want to say it wasn't accessible, because there are some out there, like there are some NRA courses, like basic pistol shooting classes and stuff like that, that were in the area, but man, they're few and far in between compared to concealed carry classes. And I think most people just found it easier because that was the most readily available class. Right. It was just easier to take a concealed carry class, get it done and over with, check the box, and ominous dominus, I can carry a gun.
Right. Yeah. And something else, you know, especially with like the NRA specifically, right? Those NRA basic pistol classes, that carries such a stigma with it, right? With the individuals that are, you know, going and taking those classes, you know, not everybody, you know, has the same culture, has the same background, looks the same, you know, that sure. go and takes classes, right? You have people from a widespread of backgrounds, you know, widespread of reasons why they're even interested in getting into, you know, shooting sports, or, you know, self-defense or whatever it may be, right? General marksmanship. And, you know, those like NRA classes and things like that, or those tactical experiences that are out there, that caters to a certain type of individual. It's not really open for everybody. I won't say it's not open for everybody. It's open to everybody, but it's not perceived, right, as being open for everybody. You know, because, you know, when you think of NRA, you tend to think of, you know, a certain, you know, political party, or sure. you think about, you know, a certain type of individual. You know, the running tropes, you know, 40-something old white dudes. Yeah. You know, that's kind of the thing. But it's not, right? The training community as a whole is incredibly diverse.
Yes.
You know, we have students of all different backgrounds and walks of life that come and seek things. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, concealed carry classes, generally speaking, right, carry that kind of same stigma, and, you know, which is, you know, incredibly unfortunate. But, you know, like you had already said, Tim, you know, the focus of concealed carry is teaching laws governing deadly force. So let me ask you this. If you know, the concealed carry class isn't the place to start, where should you start? I know we touched on it a little bit, but, you know, what does that look like for just the average citizen, or just the person who's, you know, out here saying, hey, look, I'm kind of considering this. They may be on the fence whether they want to pursue this or not. You know, right. Where can they go? Where can they go and find more information?
Well, I can tell you where you shouldn't, for sure. But, you know, if you can't make it out to a place like Apache and get some private sessions in and really get get some solid individual training in,
right.
I'd say in terms of learning how to shoot.
Yeah. Just basic fundamental marksmanship.
I mean, getting into an NRA basis of pistol shooting class is a great, and, you know, a great opportunity to do something like that. I mean, you can get a better or clearer understanding of how to run a gun. If you can make it out to our place, I mean, we teach an Apache Pistol 101 class mm-hmm. that's similar, but not, you know, right. It's primarily around the modern pistol shooting and stuff. I think the NRA has a tendency to kind of lag behind in a lot of the stuff that they put out there in their curriculum. But like I said, if you can't get out to Apache or something, trying to find some type of basic pistol class, and even if you think you've been shooting all of your life or something, that is a really good place to start.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, you know, we're starting to really focus on what those foundational skills are, right? Safety is a skill set, right? That's definitely something that you have to work on. And, you know, the, you know, really, really focusing in on honing in on, you know, what that, you know, tool, you know, potentially can or cannot do. You know, it's not going to jump up off of a table and just spontaneously go off. Sure. There's definitely, you know, some limitations to it. But also looking at, you know, other things, you know, just maintenance, right? How to maintain a firearm properly, how to store a firearm properly. You know, there's a lot of other little nuances that, you know, a lot of people, especially, you know, the ones that I've spoken with in the past, just they don't consider, right? And they go, oh, I want to learn how to shoot. And so, you know, in their mindset, it's, okay, well, what are the mechanics of me putting my hands on this thing and working, when there's just so many other things that, you know, also go along with it. You know, the private sessions at Apache, you know, that first private session is often 2 hours long. Mm-hmm. That first hour is just, it's you know, a one-on-one, let's figure out what you want to do. Let's get to know you a little bit. You know, what's your lifestyle, what's your work, you know, what are the things that you're concerned with? And then, you know, and that's just like, you know, primarily that first hour. You know, right. After that's where we really start diving into the mechanics, or really start diving into, you know, other skill sets, safety, you know, things of that nature. You know, there's a lot of, like I said, there's a lot of little things that a lot of people don't consider, but, you know, big picture wise, it all works hand in hand. It all works together. So, all right. So you mentioned some, you know, some places that, you know, we should go, right? So what are some things that we should avoid? What are some things that we should stay away from? We should consider? I mean, I got a few that's rattling in my brain trap, but what are Tim's thoughts on that?
Typically, and not trying to insult anyone. Typically, one of the worst places to learn about shooting a handgun is by learning from the dude who sells you the gun behind the counter. One of the first places I would hesitate taking advice from. The next place I would say would be the internet.
Yeah.
If you don't know, if you're not familiar with the training community, right? If you're not familiar with vetted instructors, or if you don't know how to vet instructors, I would not advise you to try to go on the internet and learn based off of, oh, this guy's got a ton of likes. Yep. And, you know, a whole bunch of subscribers. Maybe I should listen to him. Probably not.
It can cause a lot. So, the first one he had mentioned, you know, the gun store clerk, you know, again, it's not every case, right? There are some phenomenal, salesmen that are out there, but that's what they're doing, right? They're salesmen. That's their primary goal. Doesn't necessarily mean that they know what they're doing with a handgun. You know, they may have some, you know, some safety skills, right? They may have some, you know, a little bit of etiquette that's built into that, but, you know, that doesn't mean that they're qualified to be an instructor or anything like that.
Right.
You know, there's definitely some other things that go beyond that. Again, the broad statement, that doesn't mean everybody. Sure. There's some fantastic clerks that we actually have as students that, you know, they're fantastic marksmen.
Yeah,
I know
plenty of instructors who are.
No, like, yeah, absolutely.
And great.
And then, you know, going on with that, the internet, man, the internet is just covered with junk.
Yeah.
There's just so much stuff that's out there that is going to get people hurt. Even in our local area,
yes,
right? There's a couple of, well, you know, quote unquote instructors or internet instructors that are out there that are putting content out there that, I mean, it is flat out dangerous. It is, yes, wrong. So, you know, that's the kind of stuff that, you know, really need to avoid, really need to, you know, have a discerning eye for. And it's, I'm telling you, man, as a beginner shooter, right, someone who's just now entering in, it could be difficult trying to discern what, you know, what is legitimate or not. You know, so, you know, I highly recommend, you know, going out, finding a company, finding a gun range, finding somebody that, you know, has a little bit of, you know, background, and that a vetted background at that, right? Being able to say, hey, these are my certifications, and they're not just resting on, you know, previous employment necessarily.
Right.
And really going from there. So, yeah, there's...
I'd say another thing to try and avoid, and this is, again, I have a tendency to hit soft spots in people's hearts sometimes, and I don't mean to, but it's kind of a part of the culture in this area. We have a tendency to take certain types of education and include them as something that's sentimental,
right?
So taking advice and instruction from your dad or your grandpa, right? Or some, maybe it's your mom, it doesn't matter, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, whoever, because they were law enforcement, because they were hunters, because they were something or another, a lot of times we take that to heart and say, they know all, right? And what they say is gold. And you carry that around in full faith that what they have told you is going to work, when in reality, they may not know what they don't know.
Right.
Right. And that's it. So we can't chalk up something anybody says to as just the end all be all.
Right.
I mean, it's important to question things.
Yeah,
right. 100%. It's important to say whether or not, you know, I really want to put my full faith into this and end up taking a concealed carry class, carrying a gun, and depending on that with my life.
Right.
I mean, there's a certain point we have to draw the line there. You know,
having the ability to be able to ask those why questions or to be able to ask why, you know, that is absolutely worth it, is weight in gold. You know, and I love students who ask those why questions, because, you know, if I can't answer those why questions, then I have more things that I need to work on, right?
Sure.
Or if they can ask that why question and it spurs another thought of, oh, you know what, I have not considered that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it happens all the time in concealed carry classes. You know, so many different individuals have different backgrounds and things like that, and then they'll say, hey, in my, you know, place of work, in my daily life, you know, I have this type of scenario, you know, what do you think? And I'm like, I'm gonna have to get back to you on that. I genuinely don't know. You're listening to the Responsible Brown Citizen Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Responsibly Armed Citizen Show, where we talk about all things responsibly armed citizens should know. We're deep in discussion, talking about, you know, beginner shooters, where to go, where to not go, concealed carry classes, where that fits in. Let me ask this. Let me pose this question. So let's just say I have, I've gone out and I've sought some training. I've gone through got some basic marksmanship skills. I got a little bit of time, behind a firearm. I've gone and I've taken a concealed carry class. Or if, let's just say, this is the first time I'm hearing things about this, and I just went and took my concealed carry class. When is an individual ready to start carrying in public?
Man, that's definitely individually and, you know, dependent. It's dependent on the individual and how they take in information. I'd say when you have a decent ability to navigate certain social situations, I think it has less to do with your ability to shoot a gun and more with your ability to de-escalate, to be able to see things for what they truly are, your ability to listen to your gut.
Right.
Having those skills is far, far more important than being able to press the trigger without disrupting your sights.
I completely agree with
you
that.
You know, yeah. I think that's one of the beauties of, you know, what we do out at Apache in our private sessions is it's so much more than just, hey, let me teach you how to hit a bullseye,
right?
It is so much more than that. I mean, the instructors are very, very good about, you know, kind of getting in your head a little bit, right? Getting, and I won't say involved, but getting you to think about your everyday life and where certain things could go wrong, where certain vulnerabilities, where you are most vulnerable, where you could most likely be a victim, and how to fill these gaps. And I don't think people think about that enough,
right?
Most of us have a tendency to wait until, you know, something happens before we actually do anything about it.
Right. No, I completely agree. You know, playing those, you know, something that we say in our concealed carry classes, right? You know, playing those mind games now, right? Playing, you know, thinking about different scenarios, thinking about different things. And, you know, with the skill sets you currently possess, you know, what can you or can you not do? Should you even get involved? You know, I mean, right. These are all things that people should consider. You know, something that I hear often is, you know, if this happens, then I'm going to do this, right?
Yeah.
And let me be the first to tell you, it doesn't always work that way. You know, there's, you know, the best laid plans often don't, you know, happen the way that you think they're going to happen. You know, the Craig Douglas of ShivWorks, right? He has his ELL, Experimental Learning Lab. And that is an amazing opportunity. Not going to, you know, ruin it for anybody else out there, but if you have an opportunity to go do it, even with whatever skill sets you currently have today, go do it.
Yep.
Because it's definitely...
That's any force on force training.
Any force, really. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, anything that you can do to you know, see a little bit of controlled violence, right?
Right.
Because, you know, it's easy to say, all right, this is what I'm going to do, and then you have... pandemonium happening around you, and you have to, you know, make a decision or not, right then and there. And, you know, using whatever skill set, whatever tools that, you know, you have available to you. You know, so, you know, things like that are just absolutely worth their weight in gold when it comes to, you know, training and to, you know, exposing yourself to, you know, different stimuli and different things. You know, if, again, in a safe and controlled manner, if you can expose yourself to, you know, different types of scenarios or different types of ideas or different types of thoughts, or, you know, if you can even play those brain games of, okay, well, you know, hypothetically, right, I'm driving down a car and something happens now, you know, what can I do?
Yeah.
You know, these are all things that, you know, of extreme value. Yeah, and it's not just shooting sports, right? It's not just, you know, stuff with a handgun. I'm talking med. I'm talking, you know, communication. I'm
intermediate talking force options.
Force options. Exactly. I mean, there's so many other things that are there that are available to you, but, you know, it's part of what we're doing today is we're exposing a little bit of that and saying, hey, there are other things that are out there that you as an individual can take advantage of if, you know, regardless of, you know, your situation, regardless of what's happening, you know, regardless of, I don't want to say regardless, but even if there are other limitations, right? Let's say that, you know, your workplace does not allow you to carry a firearm at that workplace. There are things that you can do, right, that you are allowed to do, right? Think about those, you know, less lethals, right? Think about those other deterrents and things of that nature. You know, when you have a young family, right, there are definitely things that you can go through that you can possess that help, you know, help protect your family, your young family, even though you may be adverse to the thought of having a handgun in the home. I personally might not agree, but that doesn't matter.
Right.
The way that I live my life has no effect, has no bearing on the way that you live yours. We're all individuals. But, you know, if we can, you know, meet somewhere and say, hey, I understand, right? I feel for your decision for, you know, whatever it is, then let me try and help you with this problem that you're trying to solve now so that you're not trying to figure out on your own.
Absolutely. You know, as far as being ready to carry in public, I feel like so many people, because they treat this concealed carry classes and classes like that as just a check in the box, right? That they kind of jump into it and like they don't think anything else of it.
Right.
Just, you know, some people actually do carry on the daily, but they have very minimal training in it,
right?
You know, and I'm able to identify that as soon as I see them,
right?
You know, you'll see the guy that's got holes in the front of his shirt and stuff because he's printing like crazy. Mm-hmm. He's got, you know, gun handles sticking out of the back of his polo or something. And, you know, that type of thing is really what we're trying to, I don't want to say we're trying to fix. We're trying to dress up a little bit,
yeah.
You know, especially in a time like today, if in the world that we live in, in all of the political
mess junk.
Thank you. the political words I should not say. with all of that happening, we have to start treating this as professionals, right? And I heard something the other day on the internet. Well, I read something on the internet, and I don't do a whole lot of interacting on the internet these days. I haven't in quite some time. I need to get better.
We have friends for that.
But this question came from a colleague who said, when do you start teaching people mindset? And it really got me to thinking, and I should have typed this out, but I didn't. But I don't know that that mindset is something that you teach. I think mindset has to do with individual acceptance.
Yeah.
Individual acceptance of responsibility.
Yeah.
Right? For yourself. And I want to say your family too, but primarily for yourself.
Right.
And I think where a lot of people miss the mark there is they skip that part.
Right.
They skip that part and they replace it with something like, A, want to look cool, want to fit into some crowd or something along those lines. B, I want to put this lucky rabbit's foot in my purse and carry it around and believe that it's going to jump up and save me one day. Or C, they take the class and then they just never go get a gun.
Right.
Or some people, I know, how many people have you had take a class who say, hey, Frank, took a concealed carry class 4 years ago and lost my certificate, surprisingly.
Right.
And I need to go turn that into the sheriff's office. Can I just get another one from you?
Yeah, that happens all the time, even though the laws
never
have changed, right? Never. Yeah, there's one individual in specific that is a very good friend of mine, right?
I could name him.
And like every 2 years, he hits me up. He's like, hey, bud. I'm like, you got to sit down through the class again, buddy. We're over this. But going back to that, right? I think our role, right, as instructors, as you know, I guess radio hosts, right, is to communicate and to let people know, expose them a little bit, right? To, hey, there's a lot to think about that's out there, and it's not all rainbows and unicorns.
Right. I mean,
there's trauma that's happening. There's evil in this world.
Yeah.
And it potentially could happen to you, right? It could potentially happen to any of us or to our families or things like that. Just a couple of weeks ago, I had heard of a story where, the family had, some teenage boys, right? And one of these teenage boys ended up just having this psychotic episode. And, this was a happy family, right? There was nothing happening, there was inside the confines of their home as far as, anybody would have known, everything was good. But, this teenage son just had a breakdown, and there was no rhyme or reason to it. There was no, in the instant, there was nothing that anybody could have done about it to help, to ward it off or anything like that. It just happened, right? How many people are out in this world can something like that happen to? And where are they when that happens? It's not always going to be, somewhere where somebody can help. It could be where somebody doesn't necessarily have family and something just happens, right? There's some triggering event, something, some evil thoughts or whatever just creep in and they go and do harm. What is your ability to protect yourself or protect your family, if this happens? We don't want to think about that. Don't want to think about, oh, somebody's going to hurt, nobody's going to hurt me, or nobody's going to hurt me in my home, or nobody's going to, cost me, or, I'm out in a grocery store parking lot, nobody's going to come over with, a water gun and start shooting on my head. There's so many different things that, it's very easy to get, lackadaisical. It's very easy to be complacent, right, with our routines, and it's very easy to get complacent with just what we're doing and how we're doing it, that we don't pay attention to what's happening around us, or we have that mindset of, oh, because nothing's happening, I don't need to go waste time on a range. I don't need to go waste time, you know, seeking out, you know, other skills and things like that, because that's never going to happen to me.
Right.
You know, that's such a dangerous way of living.
Yeah, that's just a hard mentality to balance out, especially if it's foreign to you, if it's not something that you really actively practice.
Right.
And I think that's really what we're getting at here, people, is if before you start deciding that you're going to carry a gun in public, maybe consider some of these things. And I know it can sound intimidating, but let me tell you, there is an entire community out there that's willing to help you and help guide you through this process. There's so many people that want to see you be able to have the skills, the knowledge, and everything on the equipment necessary to be able to save yourself. So let's talk a little bit more about this. I got some more things I want to say about this, but when we get back from break, we'll talk about
it. Let's do it.
Welcome back to the Responsibly Armed Citizens Show. My name is Tim Kelly. With me, I have Frank Horvath, and we have been talking about all types of different stuff regarding the responsibly armed citizen. And, you know, we've talked a little bit about the beginning stages of becoming a new shooter and new into the self-defense world, that type of thing. And why we think concealed carry is not the best place to start. I understand that, you know, some places that's some may be the only class around for you to start, but we wanted to kind of share some different approaches and different areas where you could concentrate some efforts on expanding on that material. And in the last segment we were talking about, I want to continue talking about a little bit more on when you should start carrying in public. And on the way to the show today, I was thinking about the difference between these two words, victim and vulnerable. And I think those are two things that are often misinterpreted, yeah, right? Or put in the wrong place.
Or stuck in the same
confused
bucket.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people think that, you know, when they see me in my daily life, you know, if you're around me enough, maybe we'll end up in conversation about when I am carrying and when I am not, mm-hmm, right? And oftentimes people are surprised of the answer that I give them and the reason why I give them that answer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I tell people all the time is I don't live in a state of fear. Right. That's not why I carry a gun. And it's not, I don't carry a gun because I'm afraid. You know, I carry a gun as if it's another tool in my pocket, mm-hmm, you know, just like if I would thought that today I was probably going to have to use a Phillips head screwdriver, I'd probably have it in my back pocket right, yep, now, you know. If it's, you need to have that tool readily available should the need arise. And I carry it because I don't want to be a victim, and I've accepted that responsibility on myself. I've put it on no one else but myself.
Right.
I don't go out in public and say, you know, I have somebody carrying, so therefore I don't need to carry. No, I'm not going to put that weight on their shoulders.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to put that on my
responsibility.
Yeah, I'm not going to put that on my wife, and my wife doesn't put that on me.
Right.
Right. She feels the same way. She will not put that weight on someone else's shoulders. She carries a gun so that she can defend herself, and so she can defend herself and the kids, mm-hmm, right? And, you know, I think, so she carries, she's not a victim, right? And I think people think that you pretty much sleep with a gun on, or you carry, you know, have a gun underneath your pillow or something. No, we live our daily lives.
Right.
We live our daily lives. We just know when we are vulnerable.
Right.
Right. We recognize, okay, in this area, I am the most vulnerable.
Yeah.
Right. And we reduce the amount of times, if not eliminate completely as much as we possibly can, the areas where we say, we could potentially be a victim here.
Right. You know, and it's healthy to do that, right?
Yeah.
And so you have to be able to, let your guard down a little bit. You have to be able to wind down. You have to, not have to be concerned with, I want to say completely, be concerned that something's not going to happen, but you need to be able to wind down a little bit and not constantly think about that kind of stuff. Have proper things in place, right? Have those other mitigants that are there that if practiced long enough, you don't even think about it. It's habit. It just is a part of you. But just like you said, we're not all sleeping with a gun underneath a pillow or something silly like that.
You shouldn't be.
No, you shouldn't be. You're not, sticking a loaded firearm or any firearm period just in couch covers and whatever, right? There are ways that you can go about, still being, feeling that you have the ability to be able to get to those tools. You still have ways of being able to get to tools if you need them, but you're able to not be in this constant state of ultra awareness or something like that. I mean, I'm searching for the words, but there's ways that you can be healthy and have a healthy mind, as you're navigating and being a responsible armed citizen and navigating, the environment that's around that.
Right.
And just like you said, it's nobody else's business what I'm carrying and why I'm carrying.
Right.
That is a decision that I have made. That's a decision that, each individual makes for themselves. And, just like we've talked on in previous shows, asking if somebody is carrying is
like asking what color underwear.
Asking what color their underwear is. Yeah, I'm trying to think of the best way of saying that.
Yeah. But,
there's lots of different ways of going about doing that.
Yeah.
So, with that said, we got our compc of the month, right? For every month, what is our compc of the month this month, Tim?
All right, so compc of the month this month is going to be, why should females be responsibly armed citizens, and describe the stigmas that interfere with this. You want to go?
That's spicy.
Take a swing at him, man.
All right. So I think every individual, right, should be a responsible armed citizen. If we're all hold each other up to the same standard, right, or then, we have that same metric that we're, governing, ourselves by, then, if there's something that, or someone who is, who needs some help or needs some guidance, the community's there. There's no difference between a female being a responsible armed citizen and a male being a responsible armed citizen. There's no difference, right?
Right.
So it's up to that individual. Now, they're treated differently, unfortunately, right?
They're treated differently in two different ways, but I want to hear what you're going to say there.
They're treated differently as far as from my point of view, our culture, right? A lot of people think that men's need to be the protectors, and it's our jobs to do this, when it's not, right? Just as we had talked about, you and your spouse, it's individual's responsibility, right?
Sure.
Regardless if you're male, regardless of female, from my point of view, it does not matter, right, for you to be responsible armed citizen. But that stigma, right, of, okay, that's a female, she's a damsel, right? There's this idea of, they need a protector. That is a huge barrier that we see often, a mental barrier, I should say.
Right.
There's a huge mental barrier that I've seen in the past.
I mean, it's just like what we were talking about a while ago. I mean, social stigmas are often bred through culture.
Right.
And if you date it back into, way back when, the man was the protector, the protector of the house. In the 20s, 30s, 40s, and even into the 50s, it is very common for a man who would, carry a gun when he took his girl out on a date,
right?
His lady out on a date or something like that. And, that's what bred like the Saturday Night Specials and stuff like that, right? But that mentality is, it has to evolve over time. And
right.
I feel like we have definitely made to a point in society where ladies should be taking it upon themselves to defend themselves.
Right.
You know, and the social stigma of, no, I'll protect my woman. How are you going to do that, man? How are you going to do that? You work third shift, four nights a week.
Yep.
Right. And 12-hour shifts. What is she doing? What do? You lock her in a bulletproof cage all
right.
day?
Right.
Like how does that work?
Right.
Because that's not the way the world.
Works. You know, and I think that,
and that's okay.
And it is okay. You know, and I think that same mentality. A lot of. Like college age parents and things like that, right? We still look at their kids like they're our little, littles, right? They're, 4 or 5 years old, even though they're adults, mm-hmm. Legally speaking. And, it's up to them, right? They have to make that decision. You cannot always be where they're at in order to defend them. As an adult, they have to make those same decisions, regardless of sex or age, et cetera. There's other things that are out there that, they at some point they just have to take it upon themselves and seek it or not. Right.
Right.
It's an individual's decision.
Well, I'll tell you, man, as far as social stigmas go, I know it can be really hard for ladies. I've read some pretty heinous comments on the internet about, ladies wanting to go out to the range or something like that. Guys saying, oh no, a woman with a gun,
right.
and making these comments, these shrewd comments, that have a tendency to dissuade women from wanting to do this when it's absolutely ridiculous because ladies get the best perks and shooting far more than what we do as men. Right.
Yep.
Like in many things that they have done, ladies have laid their claim on certain areas of what used to be known as men's territory, and guns is one of them.
Yep.
The girl in a gun group is one of those
exploding.
One of those things.
Yeah. No, and
most definitely.
And the girl in a gun, there's all kinds of conferences that the girl in a gun has. Actually, that there's a couple that are coming up. There's groups that are out there where, other fellow lady shooters can get together and learn and grow and compare things. Physiologically, there are some advantages to being a lady over a man.
Right.
Typically speaking, right, a female shooter's center of gravity is a little bit lower. It's a little bit closer to their hips, where us men typically it's a little bit higher, right? It's up in our chest. So, being able to move differently, right? Being able to handle things a little bit differently, right? It there's absolutely a difference between the sexes. And then there are, on the other side of that, there are things that, a lady has to handle as far as, concealment, things like that, mm-hmm. that us men don't have to consider.
Have lots right? of other,
there's
lots
a
of
lot
options.
Of considerations. There's lots of options that are out there that are catered specifically, to if you're a male or female, that, if you're not practiced or if not trained or if you haven't seen these things before, then it's definitely something that you can take for granted.
Right. Ladies, if you want to know more about the Girl in a Gun, check out agirlinagun.org. Learn more about them. We also have a chapter at Apache in Yakinville called the Yakin Valley Chapter. My wife runs it. They have an absolutely awesome time. They're actually having an event tomorrow. So, hey, man, great show.
Great show.
See y'all next time.
See you guys next time. Peace, Dave.